putting this morning's upbeat jobs reports in the context of our economic recovery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Coming up, some good news this morning on jobs. How does it square with all the disappointing news we've been getting from the housing market? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow's up 54 points at 12,333. The Nasdaq up about 0.5%. The S&P 500 also up about 0.5%. Family Dollar said this morning it made more than $120 million last quarter. The chain, which sells cheap groceries and other products to households making less than $40,000, says it plans to open 300 new stores this year. Now let's get to this morning's jobs numbers. The payroll processing company ADP says private employers added 201,000 jobs last month. And the job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says the first quarter of this year saw the fewest job cuts of any quarter since 1995. We're joined now by economist Richard DeKayser of the Parthenon Group. He's with us live, as he is every Wednesday from Boston. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Can you look at these numbers that we got this morning and say we've avoided a double-dip recession?
I think that's safe, Jeremy, and I'd even go further. I think it's time to put talk of a jobless recovery to rest. The folks at ADP have now told us that this is the fourth consecutive month that private sector has created 200,000 jobs or better, and that's also the best showing in about 5 years.
Now, Richard, at the same time, we just got some numbers yesterday about home prices. Housing seems to be in a completely different kind of a situation. How can these two indicators be so different?
Well, the housing market is a special case, and I think a lot of it has to do with the lingering sentiments about the housing market. You know, back in 2005, 2006, at the very pinnacle of the bubble, just before home prices and sales collapsed, Americans thought it was a good time to buy. They thought it was a good investment. 11 or 12% of people asked said that this is a an attractive investment for the long haul. Today, conversely, when homes are more affordable than they've been in over four decades, you get exactly the opposite. In recent months, just 1 or 2% of Americans have been describing housing as a good investment. So it's going to take time for those sentiments to shift and acknowledge the new reality.
Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
To China now. Today, the country's third most popular website dropped Google's search engine from its site. This just 1 week after Google blamed the Chinese government for blocking Gmail. And this is just the beginning, as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai.
It looks like Google Maps will be the next thing to go. Tomorrow is the government-imposed deadline for Google to submit its application to keep providing the map service in China. Google hasn't bothered submitting anything yet. China Market Research Group's Sean Ryan says Google has an attitude problem.
Google really said to the government, do what we say or else.
Ryan says Google has claimed to be the victim of Chinese censorship after it agreed to allow the government to censor its search results 5 years ago when it created its Chinese site. Since then, Ryan says Google has offered China little wiggle room with how the company operates within the country's borders. Ryan says Google's behavior is about more than just Google. He says it's turned Chinese officials against other websites like Facebook and Twitter, both of which are blocked in China.
If Google is not going to adhere to the rules, even though they originally agreed to, then how can you trust anybody else?
And that's why China's recently pushed for homegrown domestic players like Baidu to increase their market share. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com.
The Federal Reserve says it will not make its April 21st deadline to issue new rules on the fees banks can charge merchants when a debit card is used. The rules are part of the new financial reform law, and the delay is being blamed on the flood of complaints coming into the Fed, many of them from the big banks. For more, we're joined by LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So tell us what this fight is really all about.
Well, profits, not to put too fine a point on it. Now, the financial reform legislation that was passed in Washington, the Dodd-Frank bill, it cuts a broad swath. It goes after late fees on credit cards. It goes after overdraft protection. It goes after swipe fees. I mean, it really cuts a lot of ground. Now, a lot of these practices, lawmakers said, were abusive towards consumers. Banks said, no, this is part of our regular cost structure.
And the Dodd-Frank law is supposed to make things better for consumers and maybe, therefore, tougher on the banks.
Well, it's supposed to make things more transparent for consumers and also fairer for consumers. But here's the real thing now. Some would say that, the $25 billion or so that's estimated to be lost to the banks was simply ill-gotten booty when it came to all the charges. The banks would say, no, this is money that was part of our regular profit line and our shareholders are expecting it. So the result is even though they've been cut off on some sides of the revenue structure, they're now imposing new fees in other places, such as free checking. Forget about it. It's gone. B of A imposing a $59 charge on some credit cards. Chase experimenting with $5 ATM fees.
And do they really have to do that stuff, or is that just a way to try to get regulators to weaken these new rules?
Well, it's complicated. On the one hand, they're trying to make up revenue, and they want to keep their shareholders happy. On the other hand, they've been saying all along, look, if you turn the screws somewhere for us, we're going to need to turn the screws somewhere else. And they're kind of putting consumers in the middle. It's a little bit of a game of chicken right now between regulators and banks as to who's going to blink first.
And how do consumers end up in all of this?
Well, they end up between a rock and a hard place, but they do have some choices. For the moment, it looks like credit unions offer a good alternative, but they too might follow suit. A lot of the smaller institutions will probably follow the bigger banks down the more fees road, but there are choices in the marketplace. You should look around for them.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, new research from a British dog food company finds man's best friend is a common thief. The company says canines steal more than $50 million worth of stuff from humans every year in the UK. Around 11% of pet owners said their dogs stole cash and jewelry, while 74% reported their underwear had been nicked. Experts say the dogs just do it so their owners will play with them. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
College tuition and fees are high and rising, which presents a problem for the schools.
The challenge for higher education, and has been for a long time and will continue to be, is how do we maintain access at reasonable prices and still generate enough revenue to provide a quality product.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Tuition discounting is a great deal for students, not so much, though, for the schools they'll attend. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.